Welcome to a Prevent Connect podcast, where we explore the prevention of violence against women. This is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault.
Hello, this is Ashley Meyer, and welcome to a Prevent Connect podcast. I'm here joined by three people. First, my colleague, Sari Lipset. Hi, Sari.
Hi, good to be here this morning.
And I'm also joined by Rachel Gibson from NNEDV, the National Network to End Domestic Violence. Hi, Rachel.
Hi, glad to be here as well.
And Rachel is the tech safety specialist with NNEDV. And we also have a policy intern with NNEDV, Caitlin Pratt. Hi, Caitlin.
Hi, I'm glad to be here.
Well, we're so glad to have you. And so you've gone through this process of an app review. Can you just tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, so at the network, we get a lot of requests from advocates and our law enforcement friends who are hearing about the latest apps out there for survivors of domestic violence, stalking, and sexual assault. And so one of our deputy directors, Erica Olson, has been compiling a list of applications that we have either heard about or gotten requests from our advocate friends. And so she has tasked myself and another colleague with testing the app. Some of the apps we've tested before, so we're retesting for glitches and that sort of thing. But mostly we're testing the apps for user friendliness, if they are going to be the best app for survivors in certain situations, and content as well. So we've tested over 25 apps so far, and the apps have ranged from personal safety apps to games to risk assessment tools to just well-being apps. So we've really looked at trying to whittle down the pros and cons of certain apps and what we think might be useful for the domestic violence, sexual assault, stalking groups who are out there to utilize while working with survivors.
That's great. That sounds like there's a lot of different kinds of apps out there for the different advocacy organizations. I was wondering, in terms of prevention for teens, have you found any apps that are specifically targeting that population?
Yeah. When we think about those campus safety type apps, those are typically the apps that we hear most about. So we have the Aspire News app, which was endorsed by Dr. Phil and the Robin McGraw Foundation. We have Be Safe, which is another personal safety app. And I'm pretty sure a lot of your listeners have heard of Circle of Six. That's another popular app. And those apps are typically targeted towards your teenagers, your college-age students, women walking alone at night who might need some sort of safety application. So we see a lot of those apps out there. There's also, in the course of the research that we've done, there's a group called JenniferAnn.org, and the CEO's daughter was a victim of teen dating violence, and so he compiles a list of games that are created from around the world, and those game apps are apps that relate to teen dating violence and prevention type apps, educating young adults and teenagers about some of the dynamics of teen dating violence and that sort of thing. So I've tested a couple of those apps as well. So we've seen that.
You're right. We also get a lot of requests for apps, particularly around prevention. I think it's a little bit easier to find apps that are around personal safety and things like that. But when it comes to especially teen dating violence, people are always looking for, like you said, games, things that are engaging. So what are some of the keys or some of the good points that you found in those kind of apps?
Yeah, well, when you think about an app, especially when we talk about teenagers and young adults, you want to find something that, like you said, is going to be engaging and not preachy, because as adults, we can kind of come off as condescending and this is information you need to know. So when you're developing an app and when we're thinking about those prevention type apps and games, a lot of the apps that I've seen have really come across as engaging. I found myself playing the apps and was trying to get through the course of the game, and it was fun, but it also gave you information that, you know, would make the user think, okay, if in this game the person has to identify some of the dynamics or some of the issues in this relationship, what are those things? And so it really causes the user to have to think and process that information. So I think that's been a lot of some of the good things I've seen in a lot of these games or prevention type apps where they're trying to engage the user not only to have fun, but to also think about what's happening in these relationships.
You know, Rachel and Caitlin, I've actually heard some folks saying, well, violence isn't a game and dating violence isn't a game, so we shouldn't use these game type apps. What would you say to that?
You know, that's a difficult conversation because, yeah, you don't want to trivialize what someone's experiencing in their relationship, but you also want to be able to get the audience to understand. And you have to meet the person where they are. We say that a lot in our movement. We always want to meet the survivor where they are. And so if you're talking to a young adult or a teenager who's constantly on their phone, on their tablet, playing games for the next hottest app out there, you want to be able to present them this information that is important for them, but present it in a way that they're going to be able to absorb it and utilize it.
So I know that there was an analysis you're talking about of the applications that were out there, and so I was wondering if there's going to be any kind of published copy for the movement that they can use and trying to figure out what apps might be good for their demographics or just out there in general for the public.
Yes. So our goal is we were tasked by Verizon to do this research process. And so we are in the process of testing the apps and retesting the apps, and then we're drafting documentation about what we've found, posting them on our blog probably in March or April with our findings, with information that is going to be helpful for people, advocates, and service providers that are doing the work on different levels. So for you all, the prevention or the intervention or law enforcement type apps that they might be able to give to survivors. So, yeah, we're definitely going to be putting this information out there for the movement so that they can have it as well because, again, we love that people want to utilize technology, but we definitely want to make sure that we're being logical in how we're using the app. So is it really safe for the person to use an app to dial 911, or can they just dial 911? And we want to be realistic about it. So what's the problem and what's the solution they're looking for? And can this app do that? And I think most importantly, if you don't take anything else away from what I'm saying, we definitely want to make sure that survivors, teens, whoever is using the app, that they're not replacing that safety planning process and they're not replacing it with using an advocate or someone that can give them the tools that they need. Because an app isn't going to do that. An app can be broad and it can be general, but the app is not going to be able to give you the nuanced things that you might be able to get from an advocate or a service provider.
And Rachel, you talked about the importance of really meeting people where they are, and one of the things that is difficult when you're engaging youth is the fact that technology changes all the time. So I would even imagine that in this process, there might have been new apps popping up or changes to the apps. What was that like for you?
Yes, yes, you're reading my mind.
We tested some apps not even 6 months ago. And when myself and my colleagues started testing them, there were some differences that we found. And we found that some things were changed for better. Some things weren't changed that should have been changed. And so it's quite difficult to try to stay on top of this stuff and stay relevant, and especially with people that are working with teens, because what's hot to them today isn't going to be hot to them tomorrow. And so we want to make sure that when we do provide our app reviews that it's relevant and that it's not outdated.
Right. You know, I often use a picture in my presentations of Conan O'Brien the night on his show where he put on these jeggings, the jean leggings, because he was trying to be hip and cool. And I always say, yeah, let's not do that. So
what?
I think that it's all about the importance of staying relevant, but also staying realistic about what we're able to do as service providers and preventionists.
And that's so true, because as a teenager, you can smell when someone is being real and who is just trying to be cool. And it's like when you hear your parents say a slang word. My mom said the word awesome sauce the other day, and I was like, Mom, where did you pick that up from? And so teenagers are very equipped at picking up when adults are trying to meet them where they are, but also trying to be condescending or trying to imply that they know what's happening in that community when they really don't.
So I'm going to sound maybe like a talk show host right now, a radio talk show host, but is there anything you can sneak peek give us about the findings? Is there one thing that would be like a sneak peek to your findings that you could offer us?
Yes. So if there was one thing that I could give you a sneak peek on.
Just because there's an app for that doesn't mean you need to use it.
Rachel, I think that is such a great point. Just because something's available doesn't mean you have to use it. And I often say that about different strategies as well. Just because it might be the hot topic or the hot thing to do doesn't mean it's going to work for your audience.
Right. And when you think about teens that are using apps, we tend to put teens all in one basket. But a teenager in suburban America might have different needs than a teen in urban downtown Washington, D.C., for example. And even though they might be experiencing teen dating violence in their relationship, an app for someone might not meet the need that they need specifically. So remembering that each person's situation is different. So we don't want to take away from the good standard dialing 911 when you can dial 911 and get help that you need.
Wonderful. Well, this is Ashley Meyer with Prevent Connect. My colleague Sari Lipset and I have been talking to Rachel Gibson, the technology safety specialist at NNEDV, the National Network to End Domestic Violence, and also Caitlin Pratt, policy intern at NNEDV. So, well, thank you so much for joining us. We really look forward to getting the results of this app review, and we will link to it in our blog post.
Great. Thank you all so much for having us.
Thank you for listening to this Prevent Connect podcast. Prevent Connect is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault, with funding from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The views presented on Prevent Connect are not necessarily the views of the United States government, the CDC, or CalCASA. To learn more about Prevent Connect, visit www.preventconnect.org. For more information about CalCASA's mission or to show your support, visit calcasa.org. That's CALCASA.org.